السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If there's one thing Radio Islam International's Ulama profile has taught me is that when you leave this world, what impacts the life of those that have survived after you is how you've made them feel. And those people that have touched the hearts and the lives of so many, Allah, when they left this world, from the time of their janaza, right till long after their passing away, the impact of those people, the services of those people to the community, is what starts standing out and what makes the absence of those people always feel much more difficult. And today is no different. We speak and we profile today Hazrat Qari Yusuf Rawat Rahmatullahi Alayh. Many people would have known him, many people interacted with him. I don't think you would go to Palm Ridge without a meal at his house. And really, his passing away has left a huge vacuum in the life, the people, the madrasa of Palm Ridge area. We have with us this evening his son, Maulana Ridwan. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Osama, you got Maulana? Okay, Osama is just getting Maulana Ridwan on the line. And while we're getting Maulana Ridwan on the line, his children has sent two voice notes that we would like to start. So let's ask Osama to play those two voice notes, inshallah. And once he does that, then inshallah we will try and get Maulana Ridwan Rawat on the line, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. My name is Ishab Rawat from Newcastle. I love my dada too much. He should take me to chicken farm, and now every single day I am blessed him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Dhiya Rawat and I live in Newcastle. My dada's name was Qari Yusuf Rawat. He did have a heart attack and then he passed away. And then he should take me to chicken farm, airport, wherever I wanted to go, he should take me. Assalamu alaikum.
The bedrock of their communities. The stalwarts of Deen. Men of greatness. Join Maulana Ubaidullah Borja every Thursday evening on Radio Islam as he profiles the ulama of South Africa. Stories of faith, their struggles, contributions and legacy. The Ulama Profile Show, Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. only on Radio Islam.
We have on the line with us Maulana Ridwan Rawat. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Maulana and all the listeners of Radio Islam International.
Maulana, from all the programs we generally do, these tend to be more the emotional ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, your brothers, your sister, your mom, and all those that have felt the loss of your passing away of your honorable father, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, jazakumullah khair.
Ameen. Maulana, let's just start where we normally do every week, discussing the initial life of Marhum Qari Yusuf Rawat Rahmatullahi Alayhi. You want to give us a little bit of insight regarding his birth and his initial education, etc., Maulana?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Respected Maulana and all the listeners, I will give some insight on that. But just as an introduction, you know, this program is a very different program. From the many programs, alhamdulillah, on behalf of Allah Ta'ala, you know, I take a keen interest in the ulama profile. From time to time, I try and, you know, give my contribution. And whenever I'd have to do a program, I'd always call my daddy and I'll tell him, you know, I have this program. He'll give me his suggestion. Minutes before, I'd call him again, take his du'as. After the program, he would call me. But this was such a different program, you know, because I look forward to phoning him, but there's nobody to phone. I look forward to those du'as and there's nobody to give it. I mean, in terms of a father. You know, if you asked me a month or two back, can you ever be prepared for such a program where I would be profiling my own father who's now late? And I tell you, never. You know, I don't think this will ever happen. So as an introduction and my message to all the listeners, perhaps I would forget it throughout, you know, later in the program. If you have your parents, appreciate them. If you have your parents, value them. If you have your parents, treasure them. You know, with specific reference to my situation, take a lesson from me. As much as I would love to have my father around me, but he is no longer here. For those of you, or for those of us who have our fathers, let us value them. Let us appreciate them. They are one of our doors leading to Jannah, and one of our ways of securing our entry into Jannah. This was just a small introduction I felt I share with the listeners. Moving on to the question that Maulana had posed, my father was born on the 4th of November 1957 in a farm town called Groblersdal. It's in the Mpumalanga province. Many of us might be familiar with that. And because they grew up on a farm, you know, initial schooling was very difficult. My father is one of five children. My granny is still alive. It is my daddy. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for her. My father was the youngest. My father was the youngest of his siblings. He has two elder brothers and two elder sisters who are still alive. Allah Ta'ala grant them barakah and keep them healthy and with us for a very long time. And this is another important lesson. You know, as we go into the program and we discuss the final moments, my father was the youngest and he was very healthy. He remained sick for a total of 5 days. This is a very, very strong message that we don't have to be old and we don't have to be sick. Allah Ta'ala, on his appointed time, will take us. So my father was the youngest of his siblings, born in the farm town of Groblersdal, grew up, you know, a fairly farm life, and then came the need for education and the difficult decision and the parents made in those days where they sent their children off. And initially my father was sent to Bethal, where he did his initial schooling, and he studied and he was also taken care of by the late Maulana Haturani Rahmatullah Alayh. And my father always shared with us the many lessons that he learned. And one day I remember clearly he always taught us with regards to Maulana Haturani Rahmatullah Alayh was his meticulous nature. He was very particular, especially when it came to the aspect of reciting Quran Sharif. Maulana had instilled in them the love for Quran and also the love for correct recitation of the Quran. And, you know, it was this initial stages in his life, you know, perhaps in his grade 1, grade 2 years, where he was deeply inspired to recite the Quran Sharif correctly, and that is what took him from strength to strength. So they were very well taken care of, and up to the very end, my father, Rahmatullah Alayh, maintained a good relationship with the Haturanis, especially Maulana Rafiq Sahib, Hafizahullah, may Allah Ta'ala protect him. And that was the community of Bethal who took good care of them. And I suppose it was that today my younger brother, Maulana Ahmed, served as an imam in the very community. Thereafter, my father moved on to Stenerton, where he studied under Maulana Timur, Rahmatullah Alayh. And again, my father always spoke about Maulana Timur, Rahmatullah Alayh. He had the greatest of respect for him. And he always, again, shared with us the many lessons that he learned from Maulana Timur, Rahmatullah Alayh. And one of them I remember very clearly, when they were doing his, Maulana Timur, Rahmatullah Alayh, would allow for them or suggested in the month of Ramadan that they perform Taraweeh Salah. In those days, digitally, they were not so advanced as far as technology, and they wanted to record the Taraweeh Salah, and they plugged their recorder into the masjid socket. And Maulana Timur, Rahmatullah Alayh, became very, very upset. And he said, I am very, very upset that you people use the masjid electricity for your own personal need, which was to record the Salah to Taraweeh. And that point and that lesson stayed with my father right to the end. I can never remember at home. Yes, while we were on a journey, it was a separate issue. I can never remember at home my father ever making wudu in the masjid wudu khana. He would always say that water is an amanat and that belongs to the masjid. We cannot use the masjid water unnecessarily. We have water in our homes. He always made wudu at home. And then if there was an extreme need and the wudu broke on the way, I mean, that is circumstances, then perhaps. But that also, I cannot remember any such time where this happened. while my father was in the madrasa as well, despite there being a phone in the office, he never ever used it. He always used his mobile. And there was a time when I used to be in our madrasa office here in Newcastle, and whenever I called him, he would always cut the call and return my phone call. And he would say to me that that is the madrasa phone, and rather I call you back than you use anything which is waqf, you will have to answer for it on the day of Qiyamah. So these are just a few of the many lessons which he left for us, but it was instilled within him from a very, very young age. So while he was in Stenaton by Maulana Timur Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana had realized his potential, and Maulana had made out his capability as far as Hifzul Quran is concerned. Maulana Timur Rahmatullah Ali consulted with my grandfather at the time, and arrangements were made for my father to be taken to India to further his studies. At the time, there was no facility in South Africa as such. This was around the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. And my father personally accompanied Maulana Timur Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana personally took him, and he was admitted into Jamia Husseiniya Randeh, where my father completed his Hifzul Quran as well as his Qiraat. My father, he always spoke about the days of India and the many light-hearted moments that they had, but he never ever spoke about the academic side of it. And he never ever told us how he fared academically, and this was undoubtedly, I personally feel, a sign of his humility. To the very end, there were people who visited us at home and didn't even know that he was a Hafiz of Quran, let alone a Qari of the Quran. And he never ever objected to it. There were so many people who came home and said, we remembered him as Yusuf Bhai. We didn't even know he was teaching. And he never ever said anything. But the amazing thing was he had excelled very, very well as far as his studies were concerned. And how we came to know about this, while we were clearing whatever personal item, we came across two documents. One was his certificate to say that he has qualified in the Qiraat and he has studied in Jamia Husseiniya Randeh. And he has completed his Hifzul Quran at the very institute. And the second one was something which was in Gujarati, which I didn't understand. And when Maulana Muhammad Dudar Hafizahullah, may Allah protect him, came home to visit and he could read it in Gujarati, I showed it to him. I said, Maulana, this is my father's and I don't understand it. What was there was a certificate to say that in the faculty of Qiraat for that year, my father had excelled and taken second position. Something he never ever told us. It was only after he had passed away and we had discovered the certificate that we learned at how he excelled as far as academics are concerned. Nevertheless, once he had completed, for whatever reason, he was unable to further his studies and he returned to South Africa, and that is when he began serving the broader community of South Africa.
Respected listeners, we are speaking and discussing the life of Qari Rawat Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. I have a few messages I would like to read quickly. Assalamu alaikum. What can we say about our beloved father? On one of our very recent weekend visits to Palm Ridge, on arrival we had learned that my parents were in a meeting at the madrasa. So we decided to go meet them at the madrasa. But on our arrival, the house keys were handed to us and we were told to proceed home. Our parents would meet us at the end of the meeting. Alhamdulillah, after traveling for 2 hours, we had learnt at that point in time, nothing was more important to our parents than teaching the Quran. Time and again, we were reminded to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah. Whenever we needed anything, it was never difficult or a fuss. It was always done with a smile. Even if it meant traveling for hours and taking his daughter-in-law to Klerksdorp and then Durban, where she needed to be here for her father who was undergoing a bypass, son and daughter of Marhum Qari Yusuf, this is Maulana Ahmed and his wife Saliha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us to have known Qari Sahib. A person was always cheerful, kind-hearted, helpful, and most of all always smiling. Lesson that we have learned is if we live a life full of smiles and put smiles on everyone's face, we will pass away with a smile as did Qari Sahib. Another from Morana's daughter-in-law, it is painful to put to pen and write about someone who not just touched my heart, but has a special part of my broken heart. Qari Yusuf was not a father-in-law to me, but rather a dear father, as he treated us no differently to his own children. And he was such a person who gave hope to every despondent person he met, love to every innocent child, and a smile to every tearful, streaked face. He left everyone feeling uplifted, confident, and motivated. That he was a pillar of support to all of his children, always loving, guiding, and advising us. He loved his grandchildren dearly, and always took out time to listen to them and encourage them. He stayed up until late entertaining the chit-chat stories of his four-year-old grandson, and often took them all out for educational outings. Fond memories of our loving daddy will always touch our heart. The thought-provoking saying, "Be like a rose that perfumes even the hand that crushes it," would beautifully describe Karisa. And this is all from Umme Dahiya, the daughter of Qari Yusuf, rahmatullahi alayh. There's a few more that I would like to read out, but inshallah, as we go along the program, we will read out some of those messages. Mawlana, I want to come to, and I want to focus a bit on your Abbas returning back and settling down in Palm Ridge. For the simple reason is because the amount of service that he gave that area in particularly, and the general people in public. Perhaps you want to take us through some of his services to the deen once he then now came back from his studying in India.
Mawlana, when he came back from India, he served in Azadwell for a very short period, and then in Mafeking for a very short period. Then a longer stint was in Woodbank. This was from around 1980 to 1986. In that time, he served as an imam as well as the ustad there in the Woodbank area. And amazingly, uniquely enough, he had a very, very strong bond with the people of Woodbank. It was only 6 years, but alhamdulillah, he touched their hearts in such a way that up to the very end, he would regularly visit Woodbank. He had kept in touch with the people. He had performed the nikah of his students and his students' children. So that bond and that link always stayed with the people of Woodbank. And I think it's important that I acknowledge them on this particular point, that when my father was hospitalized, the 2 days before he passed away on a Wednesday, it was on a Monday, where a family from Woodbank had traveled 200 kilometers approximately to the hospital. And when they came there, I said to them that they are not generally allowing visitors. Could I perhaps make an arrangement? You people have traveled so far. And their response was simply that when your father was in Woodbank, he took care of us. It is now our responsibility to take care of you people. We are only here to check on your well-being and to see if you people need anything. It was a 5 or 10 minute meeting. They got back into their vehicle and they traveled all the way back to Woodbank in the month of Ramadan. So very, very appreciative community. He served there. But what happened around 86, 87, the political situation at the time, turned out to be very contrary. The conditions were not very conducive, and he was forced to leave. It was a short stay at home, and in 1989, he was formally employed at Madrasa Quwwatul Islam in Palm Ridge. And he served the community for approximately 28 to 29 years up to the very end. My father, over the years, had built a very, very strong bond with the community. And he served the community in many, many different aspects. And we've seen this throughout his life, where he went out of his way in serving people. But before I forget, there's a very important point, and it will serve as a great lesson for me personally. The geographics of Palm Ridge started changing very, very swiftly as we went into the new South Africa, if that's what we want to call it. And there was a lot of talk of informal settlement that was now going to come up. And my father had a very, very close bond with Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And everybody from Palm Ridge had that link because Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was based in Riverbank. And my father, Rahmatullah Alayh, at the time, made mashwara with Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And he constantly reminded us about this mashwara which he had. And he said, I consulted with Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and I said to him that many people are leaving Palm Ridge, many people are going, people are afraid because of the situation and the geographics. What is your suggestion in this type of a situation? And Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh said to my father that I think it is best for you to stay, because the people will go, but the masjid won't go. The people will go, but the madrasa won't go. If everybody leaves, what will happen to the masjid and the madrasa, you make a firm intention to stay here and to serve the masjid and the madrasa, and that is what he did to the very end. As the previous message read, he gave his life to the madrasa. His every day was madrasa. We will come a little bit we'll discuss that aspect as well. While he was in Palm Ridge, he did a lot of social work. You know, very, very often as small children growing up, you know, we would see couples coming home for counseling. You know, there would be people coming home for debt management. There would be people coming home who needed funds for different reasons. And amazingly enough, this extended to the non-Muslim community as well. We would see non-Muslims coming to resolve their own personal issues, to seek guidance in their own personal issues. And later on, as the informal settlement developed, my father, rahmatullah alayhi, alhamdulillah, became a household name. He became a household name, you know, and the staff that he had at the time and, you know, they extended families, we don't even have record. But at the time when they were selling low-cost housing, he bought many, many homes for the underprivileged, from, you know, whatever he could manage. In fact, because he was in the chicken business and the chicken industry, there's a lot of off-cuts and portions which are given away for free. And up to the very end, every single day, there would be lines outside the house and people waiting to get their share. People, you know, one was, after my father, rahmatullah alayhi, passed away, one was the loss of having to lose him, but the other was to send all those poor people home with empty hands. You know, they came and they would wait from 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning and say, we're waiting to get our small share of whatever we would generally throw away. And this taught us a very, very important lesson that we should appreciate everything. So in all this time, he had a good rapport with the people, he had a good understanding with the people. You know, there were times where he would collect the zakat hampers, he would collect the sadaqatul fitr hampers, and would we, you know, he would arrange for the truck and we would go with him and distribute to all the homes. And he did all of this passionately. He did all of this passionately. It was never a burden. It was something that he enjoyed doing, where he never judged anybody by their race. He never judged anybody by their financial standing. He treated everybody with respect. He put a smile on everybody's face. He touched everybody's heart. And wherever he could help and he could assist, he would go all out in helping and assisting people. And really, you know, at his janazah and days thereafter, subsequent, many people phoned and messaged and even met us personally. And they said, your father did a lot for us. Some of the people we could identify with, and then there were those people who we didn't even know. There were those people who we couldn't even identify, and we just appreciated the fact that he could be of service and he could be of a benefit to humanity at large. And it was something he didn't even speak about. There were people who said to my mummy that, you know, your husband was so kind to me and he helped me and I went through a difficult patch in my life, and we were not even aware of it. Not even my mummy was aware of it. I went to a particular business, and a lady was overwhelmed when she seen us. And, you know, it was then that we learned she was also going through some crisis in her life and my father had assisted her. So like this, there are many, many examples. He took an active role in the community, whether it was programming, whether it was arranging for outside speakers, whether it was assisting the people, and then obviously the core, which was serving the madrasa, Madrasa Quwwatul Islam. And we always said to him, because we were three boys and we had left the home and he was alone with my mommy, we said, it's about time now that you moved in with one of us and, you know, perhaps served in our areas. And this was his reply. He said, but my life is Madrasa Quwwatul Islam. He said, I've seen this come up from nothing. When they got to Palm Ridge in the late 80s, the madrasa at the time was in the school premises. So literally, he said, this came up in front of me. And this is my life. This is what I live for. The principal, not current, but who was the principal at the time 2 years ago, my father taught a total of 28 years in Palm Ridge, said to me in my home, he said 2 years ago, after 26 years of service, my father had come late for a particular reason. He said at the time we had on record, in the 26 years of service, it was his fourth day late in madrasa.
Ya Allah.
In the 26 years of service, he said it was his fourth day late at madrasa. And, you know, this was his dedication. He had started and something which he did personally, where he would feed the children. He started a feeding scheme. He funded it, or he would arrange for the funds depending on the need. And he was hospitalized on Friday. His last day at Madrasa was Thursday. The last day he fed the children was on Thursday. Friday after Jummah, he left for the doctor. But even in that state, where according to the medical reports, he had already suffered massive heart failure and a heart attack, he phoned the principal, Mona Musa Chuhan. He said, I'm unable to make it, but please make sure my children get food. He said, please make sure my children get food. And you know, such an important lesson. How you live is how you will die. My father always told us, he said, the day I die, it's my desire that my janazah must leave from the madrasa. Because this was my life. He was 59 years at the time that he passed away. From the 59 years, he had taught a total of approximately 36 years. And he always said to us, he said, you know, I want my janazah to leave the madrasa. And we tried to have things as quickly as possible. According to the medical report, he passed away at plus minus 10:30. The janazah was after Asr, which was 4 o'clock. We had mashwara and we said, you know, Daddy always wanted for his janazah to leave from the madrasa, but it might be a little inconvenient if the month of Ramadan, let's not push for it. But Allah Ta'ala's system, the madrasa had made a suggestion for his janazah to be brought to the madrasa. So from the home, we took it to the madrasa, and because he would conduct the assembly, the students of the madrasa requested for his janazah to be put on the stage in the assembly area. You know, it was such an emotional moment to see all those young children read for him. We performed the Asr Salah. When we came back, the boys had requested if they could carry the janazah and load it into the hearse, you know, carried by these young madrasa boys, innocent children, and they even made arrangements to come to the Qabristan as well. So this was his life, you know, in terms of everything was around his madrasa. And this was something which he instilled in, or tried to instill in us as well. Alhamdulillah, I cherish these moments, but I was the last person to speak to my daddy before he went into ICU. I had spoken to him over the phone, and subsequently he was put on a ventilator. But in my last discussion with him, he passed away on Wednesday, so this was about 4 days before on Saturday. I was still in Newcastle, it was the first of Ramadan, and I asked him over the phone, I said, Daddy, how are you feeling? And he said, you know, I'm not doing too well, they're transferring me to ICU. And I said to him, I said, is it an emergency, should I leave Newcastle immediately and come? I can do it. And more or less, maybe not the exact wording, but my father's advice to me was, look after your teaching. It's not holiday time, you got Eid classes, you got Taraweeh, it's Ramzan. Take care of that, I would look after myself.
Allahu Akbar.
So, to the very end, this was something that he had instilled in our hearts and he had impressed on us. That serve the deen, this is your priority. When I moved to Newcastle initially, because he was in the chicken industry, and I felt, you know, we all have this idea of an alternate income, and you know, it will help me and assist me and all these fancy ideas. And I phoned him and I said, Daddy, you know, there's a big Muslim community. Maybe you can supply me. I can supply the community. There's money to be made. And his reply to me was simple. He said, boy, I never sent you to Darul Uloom to sell chicken.
That
was why I sent you. I would have kept you at home. It seems to me that you have free time on your hand. There is a Darul Uloom in Newcastle. Go and offer your services there and do it on a voluntary basis because you're doing nothing in that time. Rather do something deeny. It will be more beneficial to you. Through the barakat of that, Alhamdulillah, I taught for 6 years in Darul Uloom, Newcastle.
Subhanallah.
So his life was madrasa. He impressed on us madrasa, and that's the legacy he left behind.
Listeners, we are speaking of the life of Qari Yusuf Rawat, rahmatullahi alayhi, and we're obviously hearing some amazing things from his son, Maulana Ridwan. We have on the line with us, Maulana has been holding on for some time, Maulana Rashid Fakir. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, Maulana Ubaidullah?
Alhamdulillah, very well. Maulana, you knew Qarisa from a different angle in the sense that you would travel often with him on behalf of the Jamiatul Ulama to do inspections at different madrasas, and obviously a bond was then created. You want to share some of your experiences with the listeners this evening, Maulana?
Jazakumullah, Maulana, for giving us the opportunity. Our colleague, our close friend, Maulana Qari Yusuf Rawat, when I qualified from the Darul Uloom and then started teaching in around 2001, Maulana Yahya Ishaq asked us, at that time he was in charge of the basically coordinator of the Jamia Ta'limi Board, And he came to us and said, you know what, I need your guys' assistance. We need to go out for imtihan. And he then paired us up. It was myself, Qari Yusuf Rawat, Maulana Muhammad Saeed Rawat, Maulana Muhammad Sabir from Bertrams. We were about three or four of us, and we used to go out with Maulana Yahya Ishaq. And at times, sometimes we left our classes basically for an entire week. The Palm Ridge Madrasa at that time gave permission to Qari Saab, and he also used to travel with us quite often. And then came a need where we had to now stay away because we were going to different places. In Mpumalanga area, the Jamiat decided that we need to do imtihan as well there, and there we had to spend nights. I remember very clearly the first time we went, it was in Dalstrom, and very, very cold, and it was myself, Qari Saab, Maulana Muhammad Saeed Rawat, Maulana Yahya, and Maulana Sabir. And alhamdulillah, we traveled all the way to Middelburg, and from there we spent the evening in Dalstrom, and then we carried on to Leidenburg. But the thing with Qari Saab was that he always, although he was senior, from the group he was the most eldest, but he never make it seem that he was the eldest, and he always fitted in very well with us, and he became a friend to us. He was like one, like, you know, we could say like one age, and whenever we joked, he joked with us. But when it was time for khidmat, Qari Saab was always the first. He didn't give us the chance to, from the time of getting the meat and, you know, frying the meat or whatever, Qari Saab was always, he used to say, wait, leave it to me. And he used to first start with the frying or whatever we had, what we used to eat. Qari Saab used to make sure that each one of us eat to our full, then only Qari Saab would sit down and eat. Also, he dropped his level to the level of us, we were young, and whatever we discussed at that moment, he used to discuss with us. And not once did he ever feel upset if we teased him, we joked, because we were colleagues, we're traveling together, on Safar a lot of things happened. Qari Saab was always game for everything. At times we phoned him once, we told him, Qari Saab, we are going to Wombat or somewhere for imtihan. We leave the next morning. Qari Saab said, no, why are you leaving the next morning? Let's book the night before so we can go with ease. We went first, we stayed one night somewhere in one of the resorts or whatever. We first rested, we had a nice night. Then the next day we went for imtihan. He says, you must be fresh when you go to the class. And in that way, alhamdulillah, we had many, many journeys together. But like I said, the highlight was that Qari Saab always dropped himself to a level that everyone could understand him and he could be on our level. And never did he ever frown one day to say that, you know what, I'm senior, you guys are joking with me like this. Never. He was always game for everything, jovial, happy. Every time we met him, Qari Saab had a smile. And like Maulana said, he was always passionate about the people in his community. I myself several times told him, Qari Saab, it's time now you leave out. Many of the big guys are gone out. This was my words. Many of the big guys have left Palm Ridge. Qari Saab, you can get a better place. Qari Saab had a home or something in Crosby, if I'm not mistaken. He was renting it. I told him, Qari Saab, why don't you come? He says, how can I leave this place when they are still Muslims? Who is going to teach these poor kids? My life, I will dedicate it, and inshallah, till I leave this world, I will teach them. And Allah made it such, till the last, he taught these kids. And he was always, and we always joked with him, Qari Saab was known by the people of Palm Ridge, especially those who come from the informal settlement. They knew him as Maulana Qari Saab. That was his name. They knew him as Maulana Qari Saab. So even when we used to go for imtihan, there were many a times when after a while we could not go for whatever reasons is, that it was changed, certain other people were going to different areas. Qari Saab didn't go out with us. But when we used to come for imtihan to Palm Ridge, and although he knew we were coming to Palm Ridge for imtihan, he used to phone us beforehand and say, guys, you have to come and have a meal by me. So although we used to go for imtihan, but four of us first had to have a meal by Qari Saab. And on that day, Appa used to, like we said, and lay it out. He was very passionate of feeding us, and he used to bring the best, and he used to tell us that, you know what, this orange just came from here, this is sweet, this mango just came out now. And he was like, you know, just want us to eat because of the friendship that we had. And you know what, we really must Qari Saab, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest rank in Jannah. Also, Qari Saab was always worried about his kids, and especially the three sons who have qualified. And he was always, and when after he settled them all down, they all got married, they all had a place. He said, alhamdulillah, I'm now satisfied that at least my children are now serving deen. He was always worried that they should not do anything else besides serving of deen, because he said he sent them for that reason, like Maulana Ridwan Saab mentioned. So, you know, we really dearly miss Qari Saab, and we hope that whatever good he had done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of his Rafa Darajat, and we ask the family to continue with the legacy that Qari Sahib left behind. Another thing he always used to say, Maulana, if you know any of the ulama who are suffering, any of the ulama who are going through any financial difficulty, please let me know. I will try my best, especially Qari Sahib had the chicken business, and he used to see to it that at least they can receive some food on the table without any people knowing. You just have to tell him, and he would carry on from there. You won't even get to know how many chickens he delivered, when last he delivered. He took care of the family. This was the good qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed our Honorable Qari Sahib with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the
peace and the time this evening. We have two clips we want to play, and we're running a bit short of time, so I'm going to ask Usama to play both the clips back. And when we return from both the clips, one is by Maulana Ibrahim Bam and the other by Maulana Suleiman Rawat, then we're going to ask Maulana Ridwan Rawat to wrap it up, his closing comments with regards to his Honorable Father, inshallah. So we'll ask Brother Usama if he could just play those two clips for us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, although I'm abroad, I feel it necessary to say a few words in respect with du'as and support to marhum Qari Yusuf Rawat. Qari Yusuf Rawat was not only a colleague, not only an alim in a qari, not only someone who was close to the Jamiatul Ulama, but also a relative. He was married to my first cousin and someone with whom I have shared many great experiences and had some wonderful memories. When I had completed my studies in 1983, and when I came for Hajj, that was my first Hajj, I was together with my aunt and other family members, and Qari Yusuf Rawat also joined us, and we had a very memorable Hajj at that time. That was my first interaction with Qari Yusuf. Over the years, we had come to know one another a lot in family occasions, family gatherings, and also as someone who took part in the examination and imtihans of the Jamiatul Ulama. I had always found Qari Sahib to be someone who was remarkable in terms of his humility. And if there is one quality that I found outstanding, that stands out for me, was Qari Sahib's ability and his preparedness to sacrifice for the sake of others. Allah in the Holy Quran says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَسَاسًا. Give preference to others even if difficulty comes your lot. It was not uncommon, even within the family circles, to say that if Qari Yusuf had to be sometimes in Wombats, sometimes in Johannesburg, and if he had to go and help someone, to go and fetch someone, and he had to go to Polokwane or go somewhere, he would do so not only willingly but with a smile. Always prepared to assist, always prepared to help, even in mundane activities, even into activities of deen, even in activities of helping one another in terms of your worldly responsibility. Qari Yusuf always had this remarkable type of ability to come to the assistance and help others. We all had to leave this world, we all have to leave this world. Allah has decreed so. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. No one is going to live in this world forever. أَفَهِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, if death is going to overtake you, then who is going to live forever? If anyone was worthy of living forever, it would have been the Nabi of Allah. Obviously, Qari Sahib's sudden aspect with regard to his health problems did catch the family by surprise. However, despite that, it was... death was at his appointed time. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. However, it is something that leaves behind memories. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, when death comes, it is not brought forward a moment, it is not delayed. It was at the appointed time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for him to leave this world. However, he has left behind great amount of memories. We remember his sterling qualities. We remember his sacrifice. We remember him being in Palm Ridge for a long period of time serving the community, serving the Jamiatul Ulama Ta'limi Board. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his efforts. Allah forgive his shortcomings. Allah Ta'ala elevate his status. Allah make it easy for his family. He has left behind three wonderful children, sons and a daughter. All of them who are engaged in the service of deen. May that become the means of provision for him in the year after. And on behalf of the Jamiatul Ulama, we would like to make dua and we say support to the family and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status. On a personal level, he has left behind great amount of memories which I will always cherish. And I make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala rewards him for the good deeds and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive his shortcomings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest rank in the year after. Jazakumullah. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The late Qari Yusuf Rawat Rahmatullah Alayh was a relative of mine. Qari Saab and my father, my marhum father, rahimahullah, were first cousins. Qari Saab's father, Ahmed Bai, and my grandfather, Musa Bai, were brothers. And I'm sure there are many more people who were closer to Qari Saab and who knew more about Qari Saab's life and especially his qualities that would do a better job at talking on his life. But for my contribution, I just want to focus on one or two things that I remember and that stood out for me. Firstly, I think for me, the one thing that really has remained ingrained in my mind with regards to Marhum Qari Saab is that whenever he met any one of the family members, it just brought an automatic, instantaneous, broad smile to his face. I remember meeting him on multiple occasions at different locations, and every time, you know, his face would just brighten up when he would see someone from his family, someone who was related to him. Even though, I mean, there was a big age gap between myself and himself, an entire generation, to be honest. But then too, it did not matter to him, you know, you were part of the family. And the second thing that stood out for me was how he always showed a lot of reverence to ulama. And whenever he would meet me, he would only address me with the title of Maulana Saab. And I found this particularly interesting because, you know, people normally use the shorter versions, Maul Saab or Maulana, but he always used to say it in full, Maulana Saab. And I have two or three very recent memories of him that I want to talk about. A few months ago, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had privileged me and my mother and my sister, together with my spouse, to go for Umrah. And I had no idea that Qari Saab rahmatullah alayhi was also there. And in Makkatul Mukarramah, the one morning he bumped into my mother and, you know, she mentioned to him that I was there. And I was already seated at a table a little away from the audience, you know, wanting some private time because people recognize you and they know you. And he made a point of coming and again, you know, beaming face, sat down even though he was so much elder than me, old enough to be my father. Actually, I think to be accurate, Qari Saab was a few years elder than my father, rahimahullah. And he sat down with me and it was the same. Maulana Saab, how are you? Talking about the Umrah, talking about how he, there wasn't really a plan for him to come and it was to be postponed for a year, but he felt no, he just needed to come. And alhamdulillah, look at how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had planned it. And a few days later, you know, I was about to get onto the shuttle from the hotel to the Haram and he was getting off the shuttle. And as he stepped down, that beaming face and always a pleasant remark and, you know, always very jovial and trying to interact in a very warm way. And this was not only the only incident in the recent past. Last year during the ijtima that took place in Binoni, Maulana Ubaidullah Bhoja Sahib had made some arrangements for lunch for some of us and I was also invited. And it was just on the periphery of the ijtima. And Qari Saab was there together with one of our other cousins, one of his father's sister's sons, Isubhai Patel, and we had a lengthy discussion at lunch, very jovial, very warm, talking about family history, and you know, there was a lot of talk about having a reunion for, you know, Qari Saab's father's side of the Rawat family. So that really stood out for me, the warmth, you know, in this age where everything is about me, myself and I, it's only about me and my immediate family, that warmth that he had for family people. And secondly, as I said, that great love and reverence that he had for ulama. In terms of a distant memory, back in the day, we used to go often with my father, rahimahullah, to Middleburg. And that's where Qari Saab's father, Ahmed Bai, resided, together with his brother, Suleiman Bai, who we very fondly refer to as Soli Papa. And I can remember, I have very vivid memories of his late father, Ahmed Bai, and I can remember one day that the two houses are next to one another with a common yard. And one day I stepped into Ahmed Bhai's house and I heard him listening to a cassette recording of Surah Rahman. I was a young boy at that time, maybe around 9 or 10 years of age, I would think. And I asked him that, who's reading? Who's reading? And the reason I remember it was Surah Rahman because he started to explain to me, Ahmed Bhai, that, you know, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, the repetition. Anyway, he said, this is my Qari. This is my Qari. And I couldn't understand what he meant by this is my Qari. And later on then he explained to me that this is my son, Qari Yusuf, rahimahullah. So, yes, indeed, we need to learn from the values. People come to this world, people are born, people have to move on, that's life. Different people at different times, at different ages, under different circumstances. But I think that we need to learn from the values and the salient qualities that people had and try and imbibe that within us. And I think from a family perspective, a great loss of a person who really was family orientated and had a great sense of maintaining family relationships and ties. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to follow in his noble footsteps in that regard. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.
Maulana Suleiman Rawat, Ahmad Barakatuhum, giving us his stuff towards Hazrat Qari Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. Maulana Ridwan, we've heard quite a bit, and I think it would deserve us to do another program in the future, inshallah. We have about 4 minutes left, Maulana, and I'm going to ask you your concluding remarks and some advices you can give the listeners that you've learned from your father, inshallah.
Suleiman Rawat has covered a very, very important aspect that I would have also maybe like to spend more time. He had a lot of respect for ulama. He had a lot of respect for ulama. You know, I actually feel ashamed to say this, but three brothers, all three alims, he never, like Maulana Suleiman Rawat just said, he never ever addressed him by his name or by a shorter version. Similarly, he would only call us by the title Maulana. You know, when he would write us a message, when he would, whatever it was, you know, his days started very early and he worked very hard. And there were many a times when we would, as children, offer him and say, you know what, really we're here, we want to help you. And he would say, you people are ulama. This work is not for you people. I will serve you people. And this remained. And he brought us up with this. You know, there was a time when we were doing hijj and we had upset our ustad. As students, I clearly remember my father sobbing. You know, we went to the Maulana's house and he was sobbing. You know, and our Maulana was much junior to what he was. And he said, Maulana, this is my children, please make them laugh. For that entire day, he told us, he said, ulama and alims, you respect them. Don't ever upset your ustad. Take your ustad's du'as. You'll go far in life. You know, these are the very, very few things. And the ability to touch hearts, the ability to touch hearts. You know, he often did business with a white gentleman was a non-Muslim, but just good akhlaq left such an indelible impression on his heart that when I phoned him and I said to him, Mr. Yuan, you know, I'm so-and-so's son and my father had passed away, he was so taken aback. You know, he even said to me, he said, my son, I don't know how you people's funeral work, but I would like to pay for the entire funeral expense. This was a non-Muslim, and his words to me, and you know, it really comforts my heart. He says, my son, don't worry, your dad was a man of God. You know, a non-Muslim saying this, really, it touched my heart, and I realized something. It's that warm approach, that smile on his face. Subhanallah, when he left this world, what a broad smile he had on his face. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, the high level of akhlaq. You know, just saying a good word, saying a kind word, going out of your way. These are the many, many lessons that our father has taught us. The least we can do is continue with the legacy. And, you know, from the listeners, all those who are listening, they might be students, his associates, those who he dealt with. If there was ever a point where my father said anything that offended you or if he's hurt you in any way, on behalf of the family, on his behalf, I implore and I beg that you forgive him and overlook his shortcomings. And we can only make dua and accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Maulana, our condolences from the side of Radio Islam, the Jamiatul Ulama, and the general community at large to yourself, your respected mother, your brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of you, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair.
Amin. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Respected listeners, that was the profile of Qari
Yusuf Rawat Rahmatullahi Alayh. When my children asked me, Abba, who are you profiling today? So I said, you know, we went for that bayan to power. He said, yeah, we ate but at Murana's house and he gave us this and this and this and this. And I said, you know what, Ya Allah, if a child can just remember what was given to him by somebody with such a cheerful face, you know, there were some chops that was there. So he told my son, come with me home quickly. So I said, where are you taking him and leave him? And he said, Maulana, this is not for you, this is for him. Why are you stressing? So it is those feelings that people, that you make people feel, that will remember you. Even kids with a once of interaction will remember, yeah, we remember that Maulana, this is what he done for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we can also make an impact on the life of other people. When we leave this world, those du'as is what will make us then come and make it such that it will help us when we need it most. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Karisa Jannatul Firdaus, make it easy for his children, for his grandchildren, for the family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Palm Ridge, the madrasa there, a good replacement. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all for our shortcomings. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, until the next week inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.